The Michigan Lawsuit Abuse Watch. They sponsor an annual contest to see the most absurd warning labels that people put on their products. And here's what they come up with. The top 10. Top 9. Number 1. Do not use this snowblower on the roof. Number 2, do not allow children to play in the dishwasher. A clothes iron had this attached to the iron. Warning, never iron clothes while they're being worn. Number 4, it was on a Superman costume. Warning, Kate does not enable user to fly. On a bottle of hair color. Somebody done this. Do not use as ice cream topping. On a cardboard sun shield for the car, the one you put in on your dash and cover up your window to keep it from being hot. Do not drive with sun shield in place. And this one I've actually done. Not toner cartridge, but on toner cartridge, do not eat toner. Now, I have eaten them things, I told y'all about that, that comes in meat. The little packets keep it from drying out or whatever. I got up in the middle of the night one night and popped one of them in my mouth in the dark and got chewing on it and realized it didn't taste like a pepperoni. That's what it was in, pepperoni. And come to find out it's one of the little packets that says do not eat. And look at me, it didn't affect me at all. This is a pretty good one. On a portable stroller, caution, remove infant before folding for storage. On a microwave oven, do not use for drying pets. Why would they make these labels? Probably because someone has tried it. And that's scary. And you may be saying tonight, I don't need warning labels. Now, you be honest here for just a minute. Have you ever in your life walked into a building or somewhere and there be a sign on the wall that says wet paint? Have you touched it? I'm getting some nods. I have. It says wet paint. The first thing we want to do, Terry, is reach out there and touch it. We got to see if it's still wet. People try some of the strangest things, it seems like, when we think about all the warning labels that we can find and we can read about. Tonight, for just a minute, I don't have a very long lesson, and I know you may not like that, but some of you may. I want us to think about warning labels for just a minute. I was sitting there before we got started tonight waiting on the elders to come in, and I was thinking about my sermon for just a minute. I got thinking about all the funerals that I have preached. I have preached several hundred funerals in my life. I have been with several people when they leave this earth. I guess the first time I've ever seen someone pass away was I was preaching at Summertown. I got a call one night about 1, 2, 3 o'clock. It was in the middle of the night. And a brother there at the congregation, an older man who had been on oxygen for some time. We knew he was nearing the end of his life. Him and his wife had been married for years. Best I remember, they were in their 90s. They called me and told me that he was dying and he was asking for me. So I left our house and rushed to his house to get there about the time the ambulance was getting there. On the way out, I was young. I didn't know really what to say or what to do. I walked by the bed that they're rolling him out, the gurney. I walked by, I grabbed him by the hand, and I told him I loved him. Told him I was praying for him. I see him when we got to the hospital. And from Summertown, we was on our way to Columbia, and I guess that was a 20 or 30 minute drive, I don't remember. But either way, about halfway, the ambulance stopped. And I pulled in behind the ambulance, and one of the medical people jumped out the back door and said, Brother Tim, get in here. I got in the back of the ambulance with him and his wife, and he looked at me and he said, I'm going, I'm not going to make it. And I grabbed his hand and I grabbed her hand. And I'll never forget this man. 90-something year old, he looked at his wife and he thanked her. And he said, I love you so much. Now, he wasn't that clear when he was talking because he was having trouble. But I remember the last thing he said. He said, I'll be waiting on you, honey. And they held each other while he died. And I look back on that, and about all I can say is, wow. How amazing that is to spend your whole life together. And when you leave here, you're holding the one you love and thank them for a wonderful life. I have preached funerals that have been difficult. I preached some that was not as difficult. I preached funerals for those in my family. I preached funerals for those that were not a member of the church at all. I don't know how many of you ever been with someone when they leave this earth. But I never fail when I'm sitting watching people breathe. And you almost get focused on their chest or their stomach. And you watch them breathe. To the point that they'll get to where they stop. Then they'll start back. And then they will finally stop. I can't help but think about what happens at that point. I can't help but wonder if people, when they leave this earth, were they ready when they left this earth? Because there's one thing for sure, and I'm not making light of this at all, there's one thing for sure. When we breathe our last breath, there's no changing. There's no change our destination. There's no change in where we're going. There's nothing we can do at that point. And we laugh and we look at these lists of warning labels that I read for you tonight and we think, those are funny. I would never fold my child up in a stroller before I took them out. David, I would never get on a roof with a snowblower. I just wouldn't. You go down that list, and all of them was funny to me because I thought, what kind of nut would do that? Put your dog in the microwave to dry him off. We need warning labels. People need warning labels. You may not need the ones I read, but you need warning labels. Because there's things that we do on this earth, there's things that we say and mistakes that we make, we look back on it and we say, what was I thinking? A comedian several years ago, I don't recall his name, and you don't have to recall it for me, but his joke was, here's your sign. You go out and you do something stupid, and somebody say, here's your sign. Or if I'd known you needed a sign, I would have got you a sign and you'd have never made that mistake because I would have stopped you before you done that. But what about warning labels in the Bible? Do we think about the warning labels that we have? Do we really need them when it comes to our soul? We know that if a sign says wet paint, we know that, I don't know how many people is here tonight, 60, 50, 60. I would say 85% of us, if we had a sign going down that hall where nobody was watching. I may do that one day after y'all forget this. They put a sign going down that hall that says wet paint. I'm going to put a camera. I'm going to watch, see how many of y'all touch it. I would say a high percentage of people are going to touch that wall because we need to be warned. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 2 Peter. God puts warning labels on his product, talking about the Word of God. He puts it on us. He wants us to know there's certain ways we have to live. There's things we have to do. And while you're turning there to 2 Peter chapter 2, let me back up and say this tonight. If you're not a Christian, if you never obeyed the gospel, I talk to a lot of people, and I'm not saying that to brag at all. I talk to a lot of people about their soul, and I talk to a lot of people about becoming a Christian. And there's a few things that I've learned over the years when you discuss baptism with somebody. Some people have been baptized in their life, and they look back, and they were baptized to join a church, or they were baptized for different reasons. And when you get into the discussion with someone and you start talking to them, they sometimes will understand the difference between baptism for remission of sins versus baptism. So tonight, if you have never been baptized for the remission of your sins, tonight is your night that we're going to encourage you in just a minute to come forward confessing your faith, turning away from sin and being baptized tonight for the remission of your sins. Tonight is the perfect opportunity for you to become a Christian. The warning labels are in the Bible. You can start with Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, when Peter was preaching that day. He pricked the people in their heart, and they knew that they were lost. They knew they had sinned. They knew they'd made a mistake. They knew they were on the wrong side of God. And they asked Peter and the rest of the disciples that day, what have we got to do to be saved? Verse 38, Peter told them to repent, turn away from their sin, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And there are people that preach and teach something different than what I just said. But if you'll look at verse 38 of Acts chapter 2, it tells you what you get when you're baptized for the remission of your sins. You will get forgiveness of your sins, and you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now back to 2 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 20. For if after you have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse than the beginning. Verse 21, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. What's these two verses talking about? What are these verses saying to us tonight? It is a warning label here for us, each one of us. It's saying here, it would have been better, Norris, for me and you never known the truth. We should have been ignorant of the whole thing than to pick up a Bible one day and read it and learn and study and someone teach us and we say, yeah, I believe this. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we go to the point that we become a child of God, we become a Christian, and then later on in life we put our Bible down and we walk off from it. The Bible is telling us it would have been far better to not know. And that's what he's dealing with right there. People, Christians that have fallen away, and the warning label is that we better watch out. We better watch out and make sure we do not fall. The book of Hebrews repeats and reinforces warnings. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. Think back on your life. Think about how close you've been to God. Think about how much you love God. I say this often, but are you closer today than you ever been? Steve and I talk about a lot, and we've talked over the years, talking about trying to help people get nearer or closer to God. We'll answer that question tonight before we sing this invitation song. Are you closer to God tonight than you've ever been? And if the answer is no, why not? Why tonight are you not closer than you were a year ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, even yesterday? Why are we not fighting every day to be as close as we can to God? Hebrews 3 and verse 12 says, See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. God puts warning labels for each one of us. I'm going to read an article for you before we close. Guy says, I was listening to a Christian radio station a couple of days ago, and the speaker was talking about something he had observed. He said that he noticed there were two kinds of boys at school. One type of boy had a car that had their dad. One type of boy had a car that their dad had given them. The other type was one who bought their car with their own money. He said you could tell which one was which by how they treated their cars. The boys who had been given their cars often mistreated them. They peeled out in the parking lot, didn't bother to wash and wax them, and often did not check the oil. If something went wrong, Dad would take care of it. But the boys who had bought their own cars were much more careful of how they treated them, and the car was precious to them because it cost them something personally. It goes on to say, our salvation is a free gift from our Father. And there is an unfortunate possibility that some people will treat it as roughly as these boys treated the free cars their dad had given them. It says in Romans chapter 11, it's warning us that our salvation is a precious, precious thing. Don't misuse it. Don't take it for granted. Hold it close, because while it is a free gift, it was bought with a terrible price. And he says only a fool would abuse it and use it like an old rag that could be tossed away into the corner. Tonight, are you a child of God? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that? If you're not a Christian, I'm talking to you tonight. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, I'm going to encourage you in just a minute, as soon as you stand up, to step out and walk forward. And I'll meet you. Turn away from sin in your life. You know, there's not a sin in this world worth going to hell over. There's not anything that you have in your life worth losing your soul over. Now, I know there's sin in our lives that's hard to let go of. There's things that it's hard to put down. It's things to give up on. But with a congregation, with prayer, with encouragement, with a fight in yourself, you can overcome temptation. You can overcome sin. If not, then God puts you here to be destroyed. We got to have the willpower and the desire to overcome it. Tonight, can you answer this question in front of this congregation? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you can say yes to that, we want you to come forward. And we'll baptize you for the remission of your sins. But if you're here tonight and you're not closer to God right now than you've ever been, you better take a serious look at yourself. Because there's warning labels throughout the Bible. And we better take heed to them. Won't you come while we stand and sing?